I know about that river. And if you are one of his children today, you know about that river. It wasn't running dry the day you got saved. It hasn't run dry since. And good news, it never will. What a river. And it just so happened that that song kind of meets the message today also. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 65. That wasn't me. Oh, I'm sorry, he had it going. I'm sorry, Rick. Let her go, Rick. I'm just reminding you that in the last few weeks we've been plowing, tilling. We're getting the soil ready to do some planting. You know, we allude to planting our gardens, and I love to plant my garden. But I'm going a little deeper than planting your garden at the back of your house. We want our lives plowed and tilled. And we want our lives enriched with the nutrients that go into the soil. And this morning, we're going to be enriching the soil. We're going to be reading in Psalm 65. Now, I never had a tractor like that. Neither did my dad. Actually, back in my day, they pulled a plow with a team of horses. It was a little different. Because when you're driving the tractor has it connected where it's supposed to be, and the plow stays where it's supposed to be as long as you stay in the furrow. But I've watched my dad struggle with the plow, and I've watched some of the older men get that plow behind that team of horses and get that point of that plow pointed down. Get up her! Did I scare anybody? Get up there. Dan was his name. And he'd struggle to hold that plow straight because he wanted to make sure that he turned it all. And we want to make sure, folks, that the plow goes deep in our soil of our heart and soul. And turns it so that you remember the reason for turning the soil is so that you can get rid of what's not supposed to be there on top, because you're going to turn it under and it's going to rot, and the good stuff that's down underneath is going to come up to the top where it needs to be. And we do need our lives plowed. But today, since we've already plowed and tilled, we're going to enrich the soil. You pray for me, because this is new territory for me. I've never done this before in my ministry, in plowing and tilling. I've done a lot of plowing with the Word of God, but I've never done anything like a series on this of gardening. But in Psalm 65 and verse 9, I had verse 8 in the bulletin, I guess, didn't I, Doris? Is it 8 in there? Is it 9? I thought I might have put 8 in there, but, you know, I mess up sometimes, and I blame it on Doris. But look at verse 9, if you will. Verse 9, and we'll start there. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Now, some of you I know have done gardens, and if you've ever gotten your garden ready to plant and then it rains, there's nothing more beautiful than to see the raindrops falling on that new tilled soil ready for seeds and plants. And it just hits it so softly, and you can just see it going down, and there's a reason for that. And he says, "And thou, it settles the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing." Now, for some of y'all who never realized that the pastures are clothed and the valleys are covered with corn, and they also, not only do they have things on them that are good for mankind, they also shout for joy. Did you ever hear them shout? Listen real hard next time and see if you don't hear the valleys shouting. Hear the trees singing. Hear God's creation speaking to you. You say, "Now you're getting wild. You're getting way out there in the universe somewhere." No, I'm not. It's what the Bible says. It says they shout for joy and they also sing. So listen next time. See if you can't hear a song coming from the trees and the valleys and the ridges. Just see if you can. I believe you can. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this reading of the Scripture. Our Lord in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for allowing us to do this study, Lord, so that we can put more attention and focus on our own personal lives as to where we are, where we used to be, where we want to be, where you want us to be. And we're going to praise you, Lord, for everything you do here today. Lord, help us to see that our lives are enriched by what you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's just do a little English class here for a minute or two. And let's take a look at the word enrich, because that's what we're doing. That's what the word that I just read to you when it says he comes down and it says he greatly enriches with the river of God. God knows about enriching. He does. And he knows where you are and where you need enriching. He knows everything about us. He knows where we need to step it up, and he can enrich our lives to do that. But the word enriched, here's what it means, and I know you know, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, because I always give you a little bit more than you had when you came in, right? It means to make rich or richer, to enrich your life. It means to make rich or richer, to make one fertile. Make it more fertile than it was, to enrich it. Improve nutrients. It means to add a desirable substance for improving the ground or the life. If you don't put that in, you'll miss the whole message. Because, see, we're wanting to see our lives enriched. And if we're going to do that, we've got to understand that God's going to give us something that's going to make us rich or more richer than we are. He's going to make us more fertile in this life out here who needs a Savior more than anything in this world. There is no need greater than the need of salvation in the lives of mankind. And he's going to fertilize us. He's going to make us more fertile so that we can go out and reach others. We're going to get some nutrients today, so look out, okay? So, this is so that we can be more productive. If you feed your plants, if you feed your garden, you'll find out that it's going to be more productive. And there's a reason for that, because some of the gardens have laid dormant for some time, or they haven't been turned. Now, you can take your tiller, and whether it's a front tine or a rear tine, doesn't make any difference. You can only till so far down, and it's really not far enough to bring all those good nutrients from way down deep up to the top. So every once in a while, you need to get somebody who's got a plow and get it turned. Now that I've messed up your day, let's go on, because he says that he wants us to do this so that we can be more productive. More productive means that we produce. The Bible says that like produces like. So that means that if a Christian is a Christian, then a Christian ought to produce another Christian. Now, keep in mind, I know we can't save, but we can try to win the lost at any cost. He'll do the saving, but we have a responsibility to win people to the Lord so that we can be more productive, to make capable of sustaining abundant growth. We talk about how God has blessed our congregation over the last year or two, and we've seen that growth happening, and I'm so thankful for it. But I've never been one of those that has been able to settle for what has happened in the past. I believe that there are more souls out there that need to be saved. I believe there are more people out there who need a good church to worship in. That's just where I am. And if you're not there, then please try to get there today, because we're going to enrich your life so that good things can come from you also. Now, God expects growth from each of us. Do you believe that? We're to grow in, what does he say? To grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We're to grow, folks. We're to grow in the things that he has for us. So he expects that. If that's what he wants, then we ought to do it. So he's going to, so that I can, if he's going to cause me to grow, so that I can manifest what he's given me. See, what he gives me, I have no right to keep it to myself. I can't put it in my pocket and leave it there. I've got to share it. It's that good. And if I'm going to grow like he wants me to grow, then that's exactly what I'm going to be doing with what he gives me. He enriches us so that we can bring forth fruit to others. That's what fruit is all about. There's never been a tree an apple tree that had apples for itself. I heard that's right. Could I hear an amen? Just want to make sure you're alive and well. Nobody's gone to sleep yet. Now, if I see you dozing, I'm going to get loud. Okay? So don't do that. That wouldn't be a good thing to do today. So he's going to enrich us so that we can bring forth fruit for other people. Enriching the soil is actually life in the soil. That's what it is. Life in the soil. When you enrich it, you bring more life to it. How many of y'all are familiar with 6-12-12? 10-10-10. How many of y'all are familiar with Miracle-Gro? I see more people smiling than 6-12-12. So I got a feeling that what I used to do with 6-12-12, when I was planting potatoes and putting corn and beans and everything else in the ground, I used 6-12-12. You couldn't throw another number on me, because that's what my daddy told me he used, and that's what I used, 6-12-12. It worked real good. And then along came somebody with a great idea, a miracle. I thought if 6-12-12 did what it did, then miracle must be really, really good. So I mix a lot of Miracle-Gro and I pour it in the furrow now instead of putting the 6-12-12. I think this year I'll go back to 6-12-12. But to enrich means to give life to. And that's exactly what God's doing for us. That's what he's been doing for us, and that's what he's going to continue doing for us. I got real smart this week. Y'all, amen? Thank you. I knew you'd appreciate that part. I got real smart, and I looked up the Greek meaning of the word life. Since enriching is given life to, I thought, well, I need to know more about life. And I looked this up, and you'll understand this. It made sense to me when I saw the three words. The first word, a Greek word for life, is bios. B-I-O-S, bios. Now that is the physical. How many of y'all took biology? Every one of you took biology in school. Well, that comes from the word bios, which means life. The study, biology is the study of life. That's the first one. And every one of these are in the Bible, but this one today that I'm talking about is not this one, okay? But just to give you it, bios. The other one is push. This is psychological life of the human soul. So there is a difference between the physical and the spiritual and mental aspects. There's a difference. We know that. This is where we get our word psychology from, that one. I would run a psychologist crazy. If they try to figure me out, they have a job to do. But here's the one I want to nail down today, because this is where we are. We're not going to talk about how you can improve yourself through your physical. We're not going to talk about how you can improve yourself with your psych or your psychology. We're going to talk about how you can improve yourself for eternity. Amen? You see, these other two, they're temporal. What I'm talking about is eternal. When you're gone from here, your physical and your psychological thing, it's gone. But not your zoe. That's the third one. Z-O-E. That's the third word for life. And this means it's the uncreated, eternal life of God. Uncreated. You like that? You were created. I was created. God wasn't created. He is uncreated. He is eternal. He is without beginning and ending. There is no beginning and ending. He is uncreated. And that's where the word zoe comes from. It is that divine life that is uniquely possessed by God himself. Now, you say, well, why are you giving me that? Because he wants you to have that. And when you got saved, you got the beginnings of that, folks. Now, you say, well, what do you mean by beginnings? You mean I'm not truly saved? No. Oh, you're saved. But we're talking about growing in that life now. You see, you can't just receive eternal life and then sit down and do nothing. That's God's not pleased with that. He's not. So he says, if I gave you eternal life, shouldn't you try to tell others where they can get this eternal life? And the answer is yes. We need to get into that. So let's take a look, first of all, at God enriching our lives, okay? That's where we're going with this. Now, John 10:10 says this. I am come that they might have zoe. Okay, zoe. If you'll put zoe in here, I think you'll see where I'm going with this. I am come that they might have. Everybody say zoe together. You got to say zoe. Zoe. Yeah, I don't want you to leave here not knowing about zoe. So everybody say zoe. Zoe, thank you. Now we're talking about eternal life. So he says, I am come that they might have zoe, and that they might have it more abundantly. It is what? Zoe. Zoe, wait. Can't do without that. Zoe. So we're talking about eternal life, not physical, not psychological, but eternal. We were created for a specific purpose, and it was not to be here on this earth to get a job, make money, and buy things, and be as happy as we possibly can make ourselves. And that just seems to be where human beings want to go with these lives, is that we just want to make ourselves as happy as we possibly can by what we do or do not do. And that's not where I want you, because that's not where God wants us. We were created for a specific purpose. We are to express the divine, eternal life of God Himself. So that may put you up a little higher already than you thought you were. Well, don't let it. Because, see, it's not about you. It's about Him. But we are to express what He has given us. Now, by our own natural birth, we possessed the physical and the psychological. When you were born a physical baby. And by the way, that physical baby, I know I'm getting off here just a tad, but it's okay. I'll throw this in anyway because it's life. That physical baby at birth was a baby 9 months before. Amen? And that'll never change, folks. I don't care what these lunatics in this world, it's evil. It's satanic. And I'll never, ever allow them to do that without screaming out how wrong and how evil that really is. So we have this baby born, and when this baby is born, it's born physical. I know it is. I've helped many of them. I've helped some of your babies. I had somebody send me a picture just last week of me holding their little baby who's 3 now. 3 years ago, I helped that little baby. I get called to the hospital a lot and hold little babies. I love holding little babies. And when I hold that little baby, man, it just thrills my heart to see another life coming in so that they one day can give their heart and life to the Lord and live for Him. So when we're born with that physical and that psychological. You don't know exactly about the psychological part of that baby, but you know that it's human. But when we believed unto salvation, we were born again with the life of God. And what is that? Zoe! That's the only time you'll hear me do that until I say but. Right? But! It's Zoe. You got to know that the eternal life of God is Zoe, because that's what's going to keep it on your mind. You won't forget Zoe. You'll be writing Zoe 1,000 times in your sleep tonight. Zoe. So, When I was born again, that's what happened to me. I gave my life to the Lord and I accepted His life for me, which is eternal life. Amen? Eternal life. Folks, I'm eternally saved. Was, am, and will be. I'm going home with Him. I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. That's what He wanted for me. He wanted me to live for Him down here, leave here, and go be with Him forever and ever. Now, God is not interested in us becoming more refined. I know some people wish I was, but I'm not. I haven't been for a long time, and I'm not going to change now. And by the way, God doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about how refined I get. He doesn't care about how educated I get. He doesn't care how I cultivate my personal life. What He cares about is that I give my life to Him and I live for Him and I allow Him to feed me the nutrients from heaven, because that's where the real nutrients come from. You could read every book in Barnes & Noble and books a million, and you wouldn't be any better off, unless there's a good Bible in there, you wouldn't be any better off in your own personal life than before you went in. You wouldn't. But you read the Word of God and it changes you for eternity. And that's what makes all the difference. So He doesn't care about us cultivating ourselves and being better in this life down here. He wants us to be enriched by Zoe. That's what He wants to enrich us, and we're going to see some of that come about here today. We won't waste time focusing on ourselves. We won't be disappointed when we can't seem to fix or improve ourselves. How many of y'all have been disappointed in how you look? I should see every hand. Come on. You got to be honest in church now. There's ever been a time when you were disappointed in the way you looked? Well, if you don't want to do it yourself, just ask me. I'll tell you. We've been disappointed. But that has nothing to do with what God wants with us, folks. It doesn't. Sometimes I just can't seem to fix me. Have you ever been there when you wanted to fix you, but you just couldn't seem to fix you with whatever was going on in your life? Well, he's got a repair order. And he can fix you. He can. But the only way he'll fix you is not with a temporary fix. He won't band-aid you. He won't put a small screw in there. He's going to fix you for eternity, because Zoe is the only way that he can fix you right. Eternally. Now, if you're a born-again child of God today, you have exactly what I'm talking about. So, we will feed and nourish the lives of others as God, through Zoe, feeds and gives us nutrients for our own personal life. I don't want to fix myself. It's too big of a job, to be honest with you. And the way I get my fix to get my repairs done is I get right in here. Because remember, this was the plow. And it's also eternal. It's an eternal plow. It'll never quit plowing. As long as man opens it up and reads it, it'll plow his life. And that's where we're going to get our Zoe. You spend time in prayer after you have read the Word of God, and I promise you, you'll be deeper in prayer than you were before. Because Zoe works deep. Zoe works forever and ever and ever. So God's going to, I can look at your faces and I can tell that God has already spoken to you. I can tell he has already started working on you. You want your life deeper. You want your life more enriched. And you're accepting what he has for you. Do you want more of the grace of God? Do you want more of the mercy of God? Do you want more of the kindness of God? Do you want more of these things in your life? Then he's given it to you. Right as we sit here and talk here today, he's given that to you. Now, for your daily life, I've got to give you this because this is what God's going to give you for your daily life. When you accepted him as Savior, you accepted Zoe, you accepted eternal life. Now you're living it. You're actually living eternal life. You say, I thought you had to wait till you got to heaven to have eternal life. No, you have eternal life the day you asked him to come into your heart and life to forgive you of your sin. You had eternal life then. You're going into heaven in eternity to be with him. But right now, folks, you have eternal life. Amen? Now let's get into your daily life. Because here's what it says. I have some scripture. You don't have to turn here. Just trust me that I won't read the wrong things, okay? Because I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. And here's what he says. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What is grace? Unmerited favor of God. Every day of your life, he gives that to you. He puts that in your life. He every day, not a day goes by that he doesn't. You say, well, what about when I'm not exactly what he wants from me? He's given you grace. That's what he says here. For the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Unmerited favor, folks. You can't merit it. He's going to give it to you. You say, well, you mean I can just treat him any way I want to and he'll give me grace anyway? Well, you go right ahead if that's what you want to do. I don't believe that's what you'll want to do. If you're one of his children, amen? No, absolutely not. Because he's going to give you that grace. And here's what he says in verse 5. That in everything, ye are enriched by him. Now, I don't want anybody else enriching my life. Unless you've got a million you want to put in my account. Not going there. Because you're not thinking about that, are you? And he's not either. We got to get right in here when he says, in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. There is not one thing that can happen in your life that God is not in touch with it. And he's putting the nutrients in your life for you to handle whatever situation you're in. He's doing that for you. I promise you that he's doing that. So he enriches us as we read. From Genesis to Revelation, he is enriching our lives. The more you read and study, the more enriched your life is going to be. You can go to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can read the Bible through 10 times a year. You can do all those things. But folks, let me tell you something. Everything that you get that's going to enrich your life is going to come from the Word of God. Read it. Read it and read it. But study it. Study it. Study it. Ponder on it. Say, God, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want for me so that my life is more enriched? What do you want from me? So God to us, that allows us to sow the same nutrients. What he gives to me, I get to sow it to others. Now, you say, well, what actually does he give me? I'm glad you asked that question because I'm taking you back to another area of Scripture. And you know this very well. And you say, well, oh, I know that, but I mean, I'm talking about something different, Brother Dan. What do you have that's different so that I can leave here today not knowing something I already knew? Well, you know, I found out that some of the things I used to know, I could really know. That God can put that in my life and make it a nutrient for my life. He can enrich my life with it more than I ever thought. Well, let me just take it to you in Galatians chapter 5. You know where this is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You say, well, I love everybody. The Bible tells me I have to love everybody. It's not what I'm talking about. It's not what he's talking about. That we have an obligation to love everybody. No, you will. You're not responsible or obligated. You will. Because that's what he's done. If you're a born-again child of God, his Spirit has given you the spirit of love. Now, I know you know what love is, but I want you to see it a little differently. Love is an intense feeling and deep affection. You say, well, I knew that. Intense feeling of deep affection. It is also a great interest and a pleasure. You say, well, what's that got to do with my life, my everyday life? Well, it has a whole lot. How do you view people that you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ? You say, well, I love them. I love every one of them, and I have an affection for my brothers and sisters. But what about the person you don't know? What about your enemy? If you have one, if you don't have one, that's great. But if you have one, are you to love them also? Yeah, it goes deeper than that. You see, when he plows up our lives, it goes deeper than just loving the ones who love us. Because he would say to you, what good has that done you? If you just love the people who love you, what good is that? You've got to learn to love everybody, because that takes you out of the eros love, which is that old physical love, and it puts you in the agape love where he wants you so that you can love with the love of an eternal God. It doesn't matter what you do to me. I'm going to love you anyway. It's what God said. So he's given me some nutrients here for my life. And I can't go through all of these like I just did that one, but I'm going to give them to you, and then I'm going to hit them real quickly, okay? Then he says, love, and I'm glad he started with love because that's the initial one. If you don't have that one, you won't get the rest. Joy, which is great pleasure and happiness and delight. Sometimes I wonder if Christians are really saved. I see very little delight, very little joy, very little of some of the things that I know that the Spirit gives us. Folks, maybe we just need a little plowing going on in our life and get down into the Word and let him give us the nutrients, enrich our lives. And peace, freedom from disturbance, calm and still and quiet. Long-suffering, having patience in spite of troubles and being tolerant and not complaining. You say, man, I didn't know it took in all that stuff. Yeah, it does. That's why he wants us to dig a little deeper. And gentleness, the quality of being kind and tender or mild-mannered. Goodness, the quality of being morally good and virtuous. faith, complete trust in someone or something, meekness, submissiveness, temperance, sobriety, abstinence. All of this is involved in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23. Let me read them again now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now the reason he gave us that is so that our life would be enriched. We can be more complete for him, because that's what it's all about, for him. Now you say, well, how do I get this stuff deep in my life? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad y'all ask all these questions. Because I want to take you back to Psalm 65. You say, well, we've already left there. No, we didn't stay gone long enough. We're going back to Psalm 65. Because you see, if I just go out in my garden and spread fertilizer and leave it alone, what good is it going to do on the top of that ground? Now, I know that y'all know this, but my dad taught me how to garden. Learned a little bit from my grandpa, but my dad taught me that when he put the 6-12-12 in the furrow, I was to take the hoe handle, put the hoe handle down that furrow, and drag that hoe handle along that furrow. Why would I do that? That's to get that fertilizer off of the top and down in the soil. But when you put those things in the ground, then the roots come. Because you can't have the plant without the root, can you? By the way, you got roots. Roots run deep. Right? They do. Now you see, where God wants to touch our lives is not on the top of the soil. He wants to enrich our lives by making sure that the nutrients, the 6-12-12 of the Bible, the 10-10-10 of the Bible, the miracle grow of the Bible, he wants to make sure those things get down in our lives where the roots are. Amen? So how does he do that? How would you get that fertilized down to the roots? It's very simple. You're not thinking with me, but that's okay. I wouldn't have thought of it either. You water it. You water it. When you talk to somebody at Lowe's or somebody who takes care of those plants and they're watering the plants, ask them sometime how much water they put on them. They'll tell you. They put it until it's soaking the roots. They'll put it on there till it goes to the roots. Because if they just go sprinkle water around, it doesn't do a thing. It's got to get down to the roots. Because that nutrients in that soil have to go to the roots. Now, look at Psalm 65. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Well, now we know why he visited and watered, don't we? Because those enrichments that he's given us need to go down deeper into the soil, down where the roots are. They visited the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. In other words, he's got enough water to do it all. He's got enough water for all of our lives to water everyone here. There is not a person here who is exempt from receiving the enrichment of God and making sure that it's at the root of your life. So just read his word and ask God to water your life. Ask him to water that and take that deep down in so that it becomes a part of you. He gave the rain from heaven. By the way, rain has its own nutrients. Did you know that? It does. I don't know how God does it, but the way he created this earth, the rain has its own nutrients. And it's not just, it's not water out of a bottle. It's water from heaven. When you get rain, and I love a good rain. I know we've had a lot of it, and I'd like to see a sunny day maybe, but I love a good rain. I love a good straight downpour rain. I love to watch it. I know God is watering this old earth that he created. He visits every one of your lives like your life is a garden. He does. And he visits it like a garden, and he gives water to every garden that he comes to, and he does not miss a plant. You got different plants in your life than I do. And I promise you, he knows exactly what you've got going on in your life, and he knows how to water it. And he's absolutely doing that. What a refreshing visit that is from the Lord to come down from heaven by the way of rain. Woo! Thank you, brother. Just to water my garden. Just to water my soil. Just to water my life. How refreshing that is. That's his grace to us. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve it, but he gave it to us anyway. How wonderful is his amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that comes down continually day after day. Such refreshing is the grace of God. It says right here, let me read this to you. It says, enricheth it with the river of God, which is full of water. Now, what does that mean? That means you couldn't find the bottom if you wanted to. And there are no shores. There's no sides of this river. Can I go ahead and tell you how big it is? There are no sides to this river. There is no bottom. You can't find the bottom. Don't go looking for it. Just accept it the way it is. He's got enough. His rain, his water is inexhaustible. You'll never have a dry season in your life. If you need water for the soil of your life, right here it is, and it will continue to run. It will continue to flow. He says, come to this water. Come to this river. It'll never run dry. It is for your life. So he says, from this fullness that I have for you, you can receive it. All you have to do is just receive it. You don't have to do anything of your own, because it's by my grace that I give it to you, and I assure you that your life will be what it needs to be. God provides the grain. He also provides the manna. The same one who gives us the drop of corn to put in the furrow is the same one that'll make your cornbread. The same one that gives you the wheat to grow will be the same one that makes your loaf of bread. You see, everything is from him. If we don't see that, then we're missing the whole point. But let me get out of verse 9 in this and read down, because now I think our hearts are ready to understand what he's talking about here when he talks about how wonderful it is that he brings us the water to wash the enrichment that he's given us down to the roots where we can grow. He says, thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. I love fatness, don't you? Bible speaks well of it. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. I can just hear it now. When God is refreshing your life, get into his word and start reading, and you'll see your life being refreshed, and you'll see him watering your hills. You'll see him watering the furrows of your life. You'll see that happening, and before long, you'll feel this song coming out of you. You will. I promise you, that's him enriching your life. And the little hills rejoice on every side. It'll happen. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered over with corn. And they shout for joy. They shout for joy. Folks, you say, I can't sing. I disagree with you. I believe that there's a song inside you, and whether you can make an audibleness or not doesn't make any difference, because God doesn't hear how audible we are. He hears the song that is being hummed in our hearts. And he'll make you feel so good by enriching your life that there will be music coming from your life. We need more music coming from our lives to this whole world out here that is dead in trespasses and sins. We need more joy coming forth from our life and the sound of joy for this old world out here who knows nothing of true joy. They may go to the bars on Friday and Saturday night and get drunk and think that's what joy is. That's not joy. We know that. Joy can only come from Zoe. I know you think I've lost my voice. I haven't. I'm just wallowing in it. I'm just wallowing in it because I know what he gave me. When I got saved, he gave me Zoe. He did. And he can do the same for you. He can. And not only can he will. If you see your life in need of Zoe, you see you need eternal life, he has it for you. Let us pray. Enriched. I hope and pray everybody leaves here today knowing that God has come down in a miracle way this morning and enriched your life. And he has watered it so that it goes to the root. And when you leave here today, you won't be the same. There'll be growth in your life. There'll be more fruit coming forth from your life. You'll speak to more people about the love of God. You'll want the lost to be won more than ever before because you're deeper in him now. Take that with you and share it with others. And if there's a person in here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that today will be that day. Our God in heaven, thank you. Lord, you've been good to share this with us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the nutrients that come from your precious word. Oh, you have enriched us so today, and we thank you for it. Now, Lord, if there's a person here today that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their eternal Savior, Lord, I pray that the Zoe will become real to them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, if you would. And we're going to sing one verse of this song. What number is it, Tom? 230. If you'll turn to page 230.